Okay, got me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was thinking this afternoon, I know it's Super Bowl night, and I said, I got 15 points, and I said, it's going to be a quarter after six when I get done. And so to tell you the truth, okay, I'm going to try to get you out of here by a quarter till six. Quarter to seven, that better. Quarter to six won't work with it. All right, let me quit rambling and turn over to St. John chapter number 9. St. John chapter number 9. I'm just going to what you call skim the top of the surface on this tonight, because I'm not going to be able to give you everything that I would like to give you tonight. And in John chapter 9, we're going to look at tonight. I titled this a very simple title tonight. I saw the light. I saw the light. And you'll see that as we get into this story. And I'm just going to read two verses tonight to begin with, because we're going to look at some others, all right? Verse 1, and Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, this is the story of a man born blind. From the time human hands pulled him from his mother's womb, he entered into a world where the velvet cover of darkness had pulled the light over the sun. But that changed when he met Jesus. Now, when he met the S-O-N, he saw the S-U-N. When he met the L-O-R-D, he saw the L-I-G-H-T. You see, this miracle is really a physical illustration of a spiritual truth. Now, Jesus uttered in verse 5, he said, I am the light of the world. Now, this man was born blind. He did not die blind, but he was born blind. You remember a man by the name of Bartimaeus? Remember him? Okay. He's wayside begging and all. Well, his father, named Timaeus, okay, he was blind also. So, Bartimaeus had a blind father, okay? Now, he was born in darkness, but he's born again in light. He was born where he could not see, but he's born again that he might see. So, we need to answer the question tonight, have I seen the light? Well, the first thing we're going to have to look at is the misery of a sightless man. So before you can understand the meaning of this miracle, you got to examine the man in the miracle. Now this man, born blind, is a picture of every person today who has never met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was it that made this man so miserable, Brother Bo? Well, it was his blindness. His blindness. Look at verse number 1 again. And it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. Now, we know that this man, he was blind. Now, likewise, every person without Jesus Christ is spiritually blind. Okay? Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus, as if a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, a person without Jesus is living in darkness. You say, why? Because Jesus said, in him was life, L-I-F-E, and the L-I-F-E was in the light of men, you see. So, in the Lord Jesus, there is life. And in his life, there is light, you see. When God created Adam, God not only lived with Adam, but he came to live in Adam. when Adam sinned, God vacated the premises, so to speak, and he not only left the garden, but when the Lord went out, the life went out. And when the life went out, the light went out. Okay? All because, simply, darkness is simply the absence of light, in other words. Okay? So, since that, we'll say, dreadful day, and it was, in the Garden of Eden, man has lived in spiritual darkness ever since. You can have perfect 20/20 vision tonight, okay? But be spiritually blind as a bat, okay? Did you know that you can not only have eyes in your head, but you also have eyes in your heart? Now, how do I know that? Well, Paul made it clear in 1 Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 18. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So the problem with people today is that do not believe God is, they don't understand that you don't see God with the eyes of your head. You got to see God with the eyes of your heart. Now, let's look at his birth in verse 2 and 3 in this chapter. He said in verse number 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So Jesus, he's really telling them that blindness was the plan of God. It was in the plan of God the blindness was. You see, Jesus healed the blind people on 5 occasions. You'll find at least 5 occasions in the Bible where he healed a blind man. And we don't have time tonight to go through each one of those and what took place on each one of those blindness there, okay? Now, because this is the only case in the Bible record, I'll put it that way, where Jesus healed a congenital disease, okay? If you understand what I'm saying, a congenital disease, okay? In the Greek language, the phrase born blind is not found anywhere else in the New Testament at all. You see, the Pharisees, what they were doing, they were asking, what did that man deserve this for? Why did he deserve this? And they just assumed that it was a physical handicap, you know. That's all they did. And the Pharisees said, well, something's wrong with that man's parents. But the condition simply was the result of his birth. You see, we are sinners, spiritually blind from birth. We're not only sinners by choice, we are sinners by nature. David said, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my who save me? My mother conceived me. So this man was not blind because he could not see. He could not see because he was blind. You see. The word blind occurs 87 times in the King James Bible and 26 books of the Bible there, okay? So a man is not a sinner because he sins because he's a sinner. A man is not born with God and then somehow loses God when he sins. He is born without God. You see, that's why you got to be born again. Now he's begging also in verse number 8. Verse 8. He said, is not this he that sat and begged? No, here he is begging. That's what sin does in the life of people today, you see. Now, in that day, the only thing a blind man could do was beg, you see. There were no laws to protect the handicapped back then. There was no pensions for a physical weakness back then or a plan. You see, they were really at the mercy of society back then. You see. Have you ever seen a beggar? Well, if you'll go with me to Pensacola, I can take you to at least 3 places where they'd be out there with their blue jeans on, their bulldog over here sitting down, and they'll have that cardboard piece of paper up, I'm hungry, please help, or something of that nature. All over you see people like that. They are poor. They have no money. They have an odor, a smell. They're a pitiful sight. They're a pitiful sight. And that's the way it is with every person without Jesus. You see, the saddest people in the world today is not a man blind and can't see. It's the man who is blind and thinks he can see. You see. Okay. So, without Jesus, you are as poor as, really, as dirt today, you see. Now, let's look at the ministry of a sovereign master. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and then on the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now, why, you think about it, why would you listen to a world full of sin for advice on how to deal with sin? It would be like a man who had a sick mule. And he went to his next door neighbor and he says, Sam, my mule is sick. And when your mule got sick, what did you do for him, Sam? He said, I gave him a quart of kerosene. The man went home and gave his mule a quart of kerosene. And the mule died. Well, he came back and he said, Sam, didn't you tell me to give my mule a quart of kerosene? He said, yes, I did. He said, what? He said, you gave him a quart of kerosene? Yes, I did. He said, I did that and my mule died. Okay? So, don't feel bad, his mule died also. Okay? But here's a man, blind from birth, who has never seen the light of day. He never saw the rays of the sun. He never saw a mother's smile. He never saw a baby's tear. But when he met Jesus, he put some spittle on the clay and spit in there, rubbing it on the eyes. You go down to the pool and wash, okay? And he has 20/20. Now, you would think a man that goes down to a pool, he washes in a pool, and he comes back up, and he's got 20/20, he can see. You would think everybody in that place would be happy, 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 jumping up and down. You would think that. You really would. You would think that. I mean, you would say, hey, let's have a party. Let's celebrate, you know. But all he got was confrontation. They did all that to get a miracle. And they denied the one who did it. Now look at verse 34 in this chapter. Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, Thou was altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. So this man, he is really excommunicated from the synagogue. Can't go in the house of God. They just threw him out of the building, what they would do. They just threw him out of the church, so to speak, okay? His own parents could not even stand by, okay? In verse 22, it says, if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You see, when a man was excommunicated, he could no longer be employed. His family would disown him. He could never enter the synagogue anymore. He couldn't buy. He couldn't sell. I mean, he died with even without having a funeral. But when Jesus walked into his life, the world walked out. You see. And when Jesus comes in the world, we'll move out. Because the Bible says fellowship with the world is enmity with God. You see. So, let's look at how he was exposed to the light. Verse 35. Verse 35, he was exposed to the light. Okay? Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, and said unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he? Lord, that I might believe on him. So this man has seen the S-U-N, but he had not seen the S-O-N. Okay? He has seen the light from the sun, but he had not seen the Lord who is the sun. And then verse 38, when he does, in verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe. Now, that's simple, isn't it? Lord, I believe. How simple can you get, you know? The man goes from sight to salvation, just like that. He goes from yonder to worship, just like that. And his neighbors asked him, how did this miracle took place, brother? Well, look at verse 10. He said, therefore, said they unto him, how were their eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay of the clay and anointed my eyes. And he said unto him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. Now, that is a simple call right there. A simple call. He simply calls in Jesus. I mean, I like that. When just Jesus a man. It's all. So, really, he's calling Jesus a good man because the man is who healed him. And the Pharisee checks it out with the question in verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened up thy eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now, Jesus is not only a good man, he's a great man. A prophet was considered a spokesman for God back then. In verse 29, the questions about the Pharisees come up. Verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses, and for this fellow we know not from hence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that he should know, that he know not from hence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now, Jesus is not just a good man. He's not just a great man. He is a godly man. Salvation does not come until he recognizes Jesus as the God man. He said in verse 37, Jesus saith unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe and worship him. Now, if Jesus is not the God man, he is not a good man, much less a great man or a godly man. So Jesus was a good man, then a great man, then a godly man, then the God man. So this man responds to the first light that he saw, and he responds to the first light God gave him, more light. You go down and read Luke 8, it tells you that he'll give you more light and increase the light, and if do this and do that. Okay, be taken from you if you don't use the light that you got. So when God gives you a little light, if you just respond, he will give you more light. And when you respond to that, he'll give you more light. And some people don't use the light that they got, so they take it away. No, so when he gives you a little light, if you reject even that light, he will take away the light that you have. That's the book. The difference between a man that is saved and a man that is lost is whether or not he has responded to the light that he has. Okay? Proverbs 4. But the man of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And he says in that verse, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not as what they stumble. You see? The first thing you go learn when you get in school is the ABCs, okay? You're going to learn that. You got to learn the ABC before you learn to read. I did, okay? Now, why did I say that? Because first, you're going to read easy books, okay? See Mary Run, see John Jack, see Jack Jump, okay? Remember them? I do, okay? Oh, I ain't going there, okay. But you read the easy books. Then you go on and you read the deeper books, okay. What's the deeper books? Right here. It's right there. Get into the deeper books. The blind man was saved because he responded to the light. The Pharisees were lost because they rejected the light. Now, this man was excited. I mean, rather than argue with that bunch of crazy people, he just gives his testimony. Look at verse 25, what he says. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. So, my third point out of four more to go, the message of a supernatural miracle. The message of a supernatural miracle here. Look at go to chapter 8 in John real quick, okay? Turn over there real fast. All right, when you get over there, let me give you this thought. This entire miracle we're looking at, it's meant to teach us a simple lesson. What's the lesson, Brother Bo? In verse 5 of chapter 9, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, he's the light of the world. In John 8, look at verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So, he's a shining light, but he's also a seeking light. In John 9, if you'll go back there and look at verse 35, you'll see he's a seeking light. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when found him, he said unto him, Doest thou believe on the Son of God? Well, this man did not find Jesus, okay? Jesus found him. Remember the crippled woman this morning? She was in the house of God, and Jesus pointed over there at her. What he did. You see, this man had been shut out by sinners. But he was sought, like the crippled woman was, by a Savior, you see. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. He's a saving light. In John 38, verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Now, the blind man did not receive his sight just because he was exposed to the light. Okay? Because no amount of light affects blindness. This man could see physically because Jesus opened up his eyes in his head, but he could see spiritually because Jesus opened up his eyes of his heart, you see. So he's a saving light and a shining light. You see, there are four people in this story. Okay? Number one, there's the people that were the neighbors there. There was his parents that were there, the Pharisees that were there, and the person who was healed that was there. Now, of all those groups of people that were there, would you believe only one person was saved? The man that was blind. The blind man. So, Jesus is using and showing and illustrates a truth in verse 39. Okay? Jesus said, for judgment, I am coming to the world that which not see might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, the reason Jesus came was to save. And the results of his coming was judgment on those who do not believe. So, that's got to explain verse 40. If you look at that, in 41, that explains that. He says, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? In verse 41, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now, these dudes, they just saw a miracle, okay? They just saw a miracle Jesus performed, these Pharisees. They heard the message that Jesus preached, but they still refused to believe. You see, no man, I don't care who he is, no man will ever see until they admit that they're blind. You see, just as light obeyed increases light, Light diffuses, decreases, also increases. Okay? Let me go back again and rephrase that. Light diffuses, increases darkness. Okay? But no man is as blind as the person who cannot see. So what do they do? Look at what he says. No one is in darkness because they cannot come to the light. Now, they are exposed to the light, these Pharisees were. They don't like what they see while they're there. They just turn it off and they tune it out. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, but their minds were blinded until the day that remaineth there. Paul talks about the spiritual blindness that Satan has blinded their eyes, you see. But he's a shared light. He says in that verse that we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. So, let me wrap this up in the next 30 minutes. Okay? The miracle is not just to tell us what Jesus did then. It tells us what Jesus wants to do through us now. You see, Jesus opened the man's eyes and turned him from darkness to light. Okay? We all remember way back, old Hank Williams. Remember that song, I Saw the Light. Okay? You remember that? That second stanza, he makes this statement. Just as a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. You see, it reminds me a story of a man that he was blind and he went to a missionary doctor. This missionary performed surgery on his eyes and so he was able to see. Well, suddenly the man disappeared and the doctor said, well, wasn't very appreciative of it. It shows you how ungrateful the man really was. I gave a man sight, and now he's just disappeared. But in a few days later, he heard a knock on his door. And he goes and he opens up the door, and he finds a healed man with a rope and 10 other blind men holding on to that rope. Jesus has given him light. You see, I was once blind, but now I can see. I once was in darkness, but now I can see. Because I said yes. I said yes. And I'm glad that I did say yes. I believed. You see, once was blind, but now I can see. 6:33. I got 15 more minutes. No, I'm teasing. No. I'm just going to stop right there. I could go on for another 30 minutes, but I'm not. Okay. And I'm serious. No, but I hope you got some truth out of this message tonight. About a blind man that God healed and what he went through to get healed and how the Pharisees argued with him and his parents back and forth and how he goes down to a pool, a Siloam, and wash and could see. I mean, it's a beautiful story about salvation up and down. And that's what it's about. You've got a world out here, people walking around spiritually blind. They're looking at everything except the right thing. Amen. And that's the trouble today. They're seeking everything except the Lord Jesus. And they think that they come to church when they want to, they go when they want to, do what they want to, and then all of a sudden, they died without Jesus. And I'm grateful. Thank God. I thank God and I every day that, brother, I know that I'm not going to hell. I am so grateful for that, man, when I die, I'll be in the arms of Jesus. I mean, I'm looking forward to that day when he gets up and he says, son, go get your sweetheart, man. And he's going to get up out of that chair and he's going to shout. God's going to blow that trumpet. And the dead in Christ can come up first because they got 6 more feet to come up than we do. And then we're going to go up and meet him in the air. Oh, my. What a time. I mean, that's going to be something else. Sometimes I just like to be out in the cemetery when the Lord says, come get her. See that Holy Ghost bulldozer come up, see them graves pop up. Can you imagine that? Woo! And then when they go up, I'm fixing to. I'm gone. My world. I ain't looking back, honey. No. What a day that will be. One of my favorite songs, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face of the one who saved me by his grace. What a day that will be. And it's going to be a great day for those that are saved, for sure. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed from the evening service tonight. Again, thank you for the honor and the privilege. Let's bow.